Anyone seen the movie or read this book? Well, it's about a kid who's born with severe facial deformities, and it results in multiple surgeries, and he has to be homeschooled up until about the fifth grade. Well, his parents decide that it's finally time to allow their little boy to spread his wings and to start school for the first time, and they're all a little bit anxious about it. Even before going to school, Augie knows what it feels like to have a lot of awkward stares, finger pointing, and even cruel comments about his look. So he gets used to going around town wearing an astronaut's helmet so he can kind of shield himself from all of this. Well, there's this scene in the movie. It's his first day of school, and a moment that brings us all back to middle school, that time in the cafeteria where you get your tray and then you look out. Where should I go sit? It's an awkward moment for everyone. Well, Augie, he finds a table, thankfully, you know, for him, all by himself, and he goes and he sits down. And then you can just hear it. You can hear the snickers. You can see people turn around and start to look at him. And then there's this moment that immediately, you know, makes me start to cry, where this precious little girl stands up from her table, where all these girls that are kind of making fun of her, that she stands up and she walks all the way across the room and sits directly across from this little boy and welcomes him to the school. If you haven't seen the movie, I promise you'll need to bring a few tissues. It's really pretty amazing. But as I think about hospitality this morning, I don't think I can think of a more beautiful picture of hospitality than that. Reaching out to someone that you may not know, who might be different from you, or for whatever reason might be on the outside looking in, and going out of your way to welcome them in and invite them. Well, what comes to mind when you think about hospitality? As Cheryl mentioned, maybe it's that Southern hospitality, people who always have sweet tea on hand, that know how to throw a party, or maybe it's just that just spirit of friendliness in our culture. I can remember first moving here from California and how noticeably different that was. And my family, who even comes to visit, I'm so used to it now, but they'll say, gosh, people that check out your groceries at the grocery store, they're so friendly. People wave at you when you're just, you know, going for a run down the street. But there's something about living here in the South that there just seems to be a bit of that warm hospitality in our culture. And I don't know about you, but have you ever stopped to wonder, why is that the case, that this region of the country is like that, and maybe some other places you go are not quite as warm? Well, some have actually explored the connection between the primary religion here in the South, the Bible Belt, and Southern hospitality, saying that these customs are a direct result of so many people in this region originally embracing the biblical teaching that we're called to welcome in the stranger, and that over the years, this culture has just stuck. Because hospitality has always been a distinctive trait of the Christian faith. This is one of the things that made Jesus stand out in his culture. He welcomed in those that other people wanted to avoid. I asked my kids the other day after we saw this movie, who do you think Jesus would sit with if he walked into your cafeteria? It's also a bit humbling to ask ourselves, who do we sit by when we walk into those same places? Jesus hung out with many people who they considered to kind of be on the fringes of society. The sinners, people like tax collectors who cheated others and other people didn't like them because of that. The immoral, the prostitutes, or the people that caused people to raise an eyebrow, like Jesus is hanging out with them. He modeled the value of diversity, reaching out beyond his primarily Jewish culture to reach out to Gentiles, people who were of other races. He hung out with women and children at a time where both were considered second-class citizens. He touched people who were diseased, who other people quarantined off and feared. He hung out with all the people that made the religious leaders uncomfortable. In fact, the radical hospitality of Jesus was one of the things he was most criticized for by the religious leaders. Well, there's a sequence of three parables in Luke chapter 15. The first one is called the parable of the lost sheep, where a shepherd leaves his 99 sheep and goes off in search for the one sheep that has wandered off. The second parable is the parable of the lost coin. This woman has 10 coins and she loses one of them. And then again, she goes on this desperate search, sweeping and cleaning her home until she finds the lost coin. I kind of think if Jesus were telling one of these parables today, he'd probably call one of them the parable of the lost phone, because has anyone recently had like a frantic, desperate search trying to find your phone? We can relate to the joyful celebration that ensues when the lost item is found. The third parable we referenced this morning in our confession is one that most of us are familiar with. It's the parable of the lost son, often called the parable of the prodigal son. It's about a son who leaves home. He asks for his inheritance early. He takes it. He leaves home and squanders all of his wealth on this wild streak. You can imagine it's kind of like a Vegas meets Mardi Gras kind of season of his life. And it's not until he completely runs out of money and he is so famished that he is tempted to eat pig slop that he comes to his senses and realizes it's time to humble myself, to go home, beg my father for forgiveness, and start over. Well, this story also ends with this joyful celebration as the father, he runs out to greet his son, embraces him, forgives him, and throws him a welcome home party. Well, before we dive further into our scripture passage this morning, I want to stop and ask, why does Jesus tell these three stories? Well, what is the purpose behind them? Well, let's take a look at Luke 15, verses 1 to 3, so you can see a little bit of the context of what was happening. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. His response to their criticism of who he was hanging out was to tell this sequence of three stories, one after another. Jesus, as he's trying to make the point three times that he came, his very purpose was to reach out to those who are lost, and that the greatest celebrations in God's kingdom will be over those who were once outside of his kingdom, who are brought in. Those who found themselves lost for whatever reason, who discover there is a God who loves them. Those who may be swallowed up in sin and regret, who come to believe that there is a Father who runs to embrace them, regardless of where they have been. Jesus makes it clear that his mission is one of radical hospitality, and he goes out of his way to bring his message to those on the margin, particularly those whom others reject. And he doesn't wait for them to come home to him. We see that he goes out searching for those who are lost, right? And then he runs to welcome those who are making their way back to him. So what does this mean for us as we think about hospitality, as we want to be people who follow in the way of Jesus? How do we live into this? And what keeps us from extending this kind of hospitality to others? Well, we're going to turn back to the story of the prodigal son and look at one example of an attitude and mindset that can block hospitality in our lives. Because there's a second brother in this story, the older brother who never left home, the one who always did the right thing and faithfully worked for his father. So let's pick back up in verse 25 of this story. Meanwhile, the older son was in a field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come home," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." What attitudes and emotions do you hear in this older brother's words? Do you hear the resentment? "I've been slaving for you. I never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat to celebrate with my friends." Do you notice how he calls his brother the son of yours? He is so bitter, he can't even acknowledge the relationship by calling him his brother. You can also hear that jealousy. It's not fair that he gets what I really deserve. And then there's that spirit of entitlement that he's owed something because of his hard work. I deserve this too. Resentment, jealousy, entitlement, These are not qualities that we like to admit in our own lives. But where do they show up and block your ability to have relationships with other people and to extend hospitality to them? It might take a little bit of soul searching to discover where you're harboring these emotions, because often they appear in our lives in much more subtle ways than this. We might need to peel back the onion a little bit and see, where do things like entitlement creep in and hinder our relationships? Where do we experience jealousy or resentment or selfishness that actually prevent us from reaching out to someone and making them feel welcomed? Maybe you've had thoughts kind of like these. I deserve to have my needs met too. I have so little time to connect with people I already know. I certainly can't add anyone new to my life right now. Or maybe something like this. Why am I always the one who has to reach out to make it happen? They never put any effort into the relationship. Why should I? Or perhaps, I haven't been to church in a while. I feel like someone else should be reaching out to me, not the other way around. Most of us, if we peel back the onion a little bit, we can find a little bit of that older brother in us somewhere. And as we read this story, I don't know about you, but I feel like I can kind of go, I feel you, older brother. I can see where you're coming from. Because it's hard to do the right thing and not get rewarded. It's hard to be the one to welcome others when you might not feel at home yourself. It's hard to give in relationships when they don't seem fair. And it's easy to be resentful when you're the one giving more than you receive, or someone else gets recognized, celebrated, or invited in when you seem to be forgotten. And while these emotions, they might be natural, Jesus is saying they can trip us up when they begin to prevent us from loving others well and welcoming others in. So what do we do when we find ourselves in this place? Henry Nouwen, in his book, The Return of the Prodigal, says that both sons in the story, they need a homecoming. That the older brother also needs to take a deep look at where he has wandered off from the father's love. His sense of resentment, judgment, jealousy, and entitlement demonstrates he is not at home with his father, even though he is physically there. He too, he's in a far-off land, a land of insecurity, a land where he has to prove himself by his hard work. And he needs to come home and hear the father's words to truly internalize him when he says, "My son, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours." Do you need to hear those words today as well? You're always with me. I'm always with you. Everything I have is yours. My love is yours. And when you love in the strength that I provide, you will learn how to truly extend hospitality from the right spirit. Because my love gives you the kind of rootedness and security that enables you to love people who are different from you, and even the most difficult people in your life. My love gives you the kind of courage to step forward to welcome someone new, even when you're feeling lonely. My love can help you not keep score in relationships, because my love abounds when you're tired and depleted, and my love never runs dry. Only when we come home to the Father and are anchored in his love are we able to extend hospitality from the right spirit. Not given by guilt, not driven by guilt that says, I should reach out because it's good to be a nice person, but from a genuine heart that wants to share the love of Christ with others because we've experienced it, because we want as many people as possible to come home to the party of God's love. When we come home to the Father, we begin to be free to love in a way that's life-giving to both the giver and to the recipient. Because you begin to realize that hospitality, it's not by because you need to prove what a great host you are, how clean your house is, or what an amazing chef you are. It's simply opening up your home and your heart to provide a space for others to gather and enjoy each other's company. When we're at home in the Father's love, we can extend hospitality because it flows from a heart that begins to see people the way that Jesus sees them and then desires to respond. Well, this morning, I want to leave you with two hospitality challenges. You're welcome to try one or both, but sometimes when you hear a message like this, it's hard to know where to even begin. You know, we ask things like, am I now supposed to stop and talk with every homeless person I see? Welcome in every single person I know who's lonely? Is God calling me to stretch myself cross culture and begin hanging out with the people who are really different than I am? Is he calling me to just find ways to volunteer or help in maybe an under-resourced area of my community. And I hope that a message like this does cause you to think about some of those deeper things. Because the radical hospitality of Jesus, it's a really tough act to follow, isn't it? But I think sometimes we also need to just start by getting our toes wet, by maybe just stretching our hospitality muscles a little bit to discover what God is calling us to do. And so I wanted to leave you with a couple of challenges that you, instead of just jumping right in the deep end, you might be able to try as you go home this week. The first one is this: move into the awkward and be surprised. Well, most of us over the next week will have an opportunity to engage in what I like to call awkward social mingling. Perhaps passing the peace this morning was already that moment for you, but you know what these moments are like. These are any sort of social thing that you go to, maybe something in your neighborhood, maybe it's a work event, maybe it's a gathering here at the church, sporting event for one of your kids, where you show up and there's a bunch of people you don't know. So what do most of us do? I know there's a few people out there that break the mold and you never feel awkward in situations like this. But for the rest of us, what do? When we show up to places like this, we get there and we start looking around for someone we know, right? Or pull out the phone. Thank God for that phone, right? We have these moments, but here's what I want to challenge you to do this week. Instead of doing either of those safe, comfortable things, move right into the awkward. Walk up to somebody you don't know, but do it with the desire to make them feel welcomed. Maybe ask them a few questions and extend genuine hospitality. I think that many of us will be surprised at what happens next. If you're feeling extra bold, you can just look around and see the most awkward person in the room and just go for it. I'd love to hear your stories of what happens next. But watch out. Watch for the ways that God shows up in these moments or in these connections. Well, in a book called When Helping Hurts, Brian Fickert tells a story of his own experience of moving toward the awkward. His Sunday school class began talking about their desire to get outside of the walls of their church and start addressing some of the issues that they saw in their city, particularly the issue of racial division. And so what they decided to do is that they were gonna, as a class, go into the housing projects that were right around the corner from the church and do a survey. Their plan was, instead of just walking in and saying, hey, how can we help you? Instead, they wanted to uncover the gifts and strengths that the community possessed to try to empower them. And so they wanted to walk and ask them, what do you do well? What gifts does this community possess? So Brian, he decides to go along with this group, but he describes the incredibly awkward experience that ensues. He said each member of the class had kind of a canned script that they were gonna say when they walked up to people. Hi, I'm from Community Presbyterian Church, the church just around the corner. We're conducting a survey today to find out what gifts God has placed in this community. What skills and abilities do you have? Well, I wanted to read a short excerpt that describes Brian's reaction. Here's what he says. The truth is, I wanted to die. Racial tensions are still very present in our city, so I knew there would be at least some social discomfort for both the residents of this housing project and for me. And the words I was supposed to repeat sounded totally hokey to me. I would rather be selling Girl Scout cookies. I had a bad attitude about this exercise and wished I had chosen to attend the Sunday school class that was examining the finer points of Presbyterianism. Well, Brian goes on to describe the scenario that follows. The first person that opens the door was a young woman, and he said she looked up at me as though a Martian had just knocked on her door. He then asks his awkward question, and she answers kind of sheepishly, well, I guess I can cook. And as soon as she says that, he says he can hear a voice in the background where someone starts going on about what an amazing cook she is. Next thing he knows, he's been invited into the apartment. All the different family members come out and they join them in the main room. And one by one, they go around bragging on each other's skills and abilities. It was a beautiful moment of connection and celebration. Well, when you move into the awkward, there's no telling what will happen, but it's sure to lead to some surprises and moments of experiencing the type of joy and community that Jesus came to bring. And if you really want to lean into Jesus's vision for radical hospitality, I promise it's going to stretch you a far lot more than a couple moments of awkward social mingling. So this will be a great exercise for us to begin to learn what it feels like to stretch outside of our comfort zones for the sake of others. Well, the second challenge this morning is to open up your circle and look for someone to invite in. Are there any regular circles that you're a part of? Places where you gather in community. Maybe this is something that happens in your neighborhood, a basketball league that you play in. Maybe it's a mom's group here at the church, whatever it is. But somewhere where you regularly experience community with other people. Is there any way you could naturally invite someone new to experience that with you? Has anyone popped into your head even as I'm saying this? Because it doesn't always have to be some stranger. It can be somebody else that you know, maybe somebody who's experiencing loneliness, somebody who needs to experience God's love that you can invite in. Begin praying that God would bring someone that you can expand, open up your circle to. And if you can't think of a circle that you're already a part of, maybe this is a great opportunity to start something new. Come talk to me about starting a new small group, or maybe it's a book club in your neighborhood, or even just a simple dinner gathering where you invite a few friends, but you're intentional about also including someone new. Well, Joe and I, when we first moved to Atlanta about 15 years ago, we'd been married about a year and a half. I had grown up moving, you know, every few years, so I was pretty used to new beginnings, and I was really surprised how hard this one ended up being for me. I ended up leaving all of my family and a region I'd lived my entire life back in California, and it really felt like completely starting over. At first, it was kind of a fun adventure, starting our marriage in a new place, buying our first home, but as the months went by, I just began to experience this increasing sense of homesickness and loneliness. I'd met some people, but it just took a long time to really make those friendships where you feel at home. Well, I met this girl named Andrea at my church, and she and her husband, Richard, invited us into a couple's small group with them and some of their friends. We were all in a similar life stage and in our first few years of marriage, and so it was my first experience of true community here in this big city. Well, fast forward, we have actually stayed together with this small group for the past 15 years. And the group has changed a little bit as people have moved away, new people have been added to the group, but I cannot tell you the difference that this group of people has made in my life. They've walked alongside us through the ups and downs of parenting, through a season of grief when I lost my own dad. They were the ones who prayed for us when we decided that it was time to take this leap of faith and join this new church community and come on staff at Kairos. This group of families has really become like our Atlanta family. Sometimes we'll celebrate holidays together, and they are always the ones on speed dial when you're in a pinch or you need a favor or someone to help out with your kids. I can't imagine, I truly can't, how different my life would be today if Andrea had not opened up her circle to me. What circle are you a part of where you can also extend the same kind of hospitality to someone new? Jesus reminds us that in God's kingdom, all are included, all are invited, and all are welcomed to the table of grace. And when we move into the awkward, open up our circles, and extend hospitality, we walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And we get to experience the joy of helping others discover the love of the Father who runs to welcome all of his children with arms open wide. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we desire to be a people marked by your hospitable love and grace. But this can be really hard to do sometimes. Lord, I pray that you would show each of us the areas in our own lives where we need to come home to you, to allow your love to fill us and heal those broken places in our hearts, to soften those places that are filled with resentment, judgment, or bitterness, to enable us to become so filled with your love that we cannot help but share it with others. Lord, would you help us to be this kind of church so that all those who walk through our doors are welcome to your table of grace. We pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.